Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Another part of the city's $1.2 billion bond package is a multi-million dollar proposal for improvements to Brackenridge Park, including the modernization of the old outdoor sunken garden theater. That has some people concerned about having a large popular concert venue that could overwhelm the park's atmosphere and the parking and also the local neighborhoods nearby. There is an online public meeting tonight about this issue. It's organized by Councilmember Mario Bravo. But now we're joined by Nicholas Hollis. He's the chairman of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy. And Nick, it's great to have you back on The Source.
Yes, hey. Nice to speak to you. It's been a while since we've been together.
I know, and I always enjoy talking with you. So tell me overall, like, what is the plan with the bond for Brackenridge Park overall? Because the old park needs some help.
Yes, the park certainly does need some help. So the plan overall is for the Sunken Garden Theater, which is one of the largest facilities in the park, which is certainly in a significant state of disrepair. But also there are dollars that we're asking for in the bond to continue with our 2017 bond work. When I say our, I mean the city's 2017 bond work, up in the very northern part of the park, the most historical part of the park, which encompasses the pump house, which is in very bad shape. And foundation issues, all sorts of challenges there. The rock walls, the historical rock walls, Lambert Beach, which was an old swimming hole that also hosted paddle boats. The 1776 Spanish Colonial Dam, the original sluice gates, also working on wood saws on getting the acequias working again and the water moving through the pump house. So those dollars will be going in there, and I believe that we're also looking for $1 million for a new nature playground, which would be some of the improvements that will be coming out of this particular bond. So that's where we are at the moment in the current 2022 bond ask.
There's also some discussion about removing invasive species that have taken root at the park.
Yeah, so that's something actually the Conservancy is going to be doing with the city. We've seen people in other parks that have been using goats, of all things, where they basically string it off with some electrical fence and just let the goats get in there and just eat to their heart's content. And they're very, very effective. And they're also very cost efficient. That's some of the work that's going on. Some of the larger concepts, we're gonna need to look for maintenance dollars. We're also going to be looking for additional dollars from the community to get in there and start really working on the ecology of the park. The county also, as far as the riverine areas of the park, the riparian areas of the park, the county has been very generous in its 10-year capital budget to put in dollars to begin repairs on the river itself, which would include the immediate vegetation either side of the river. So that's something that we'll be working on in the coming years as well. So the ecology will be, again, will be the trees and the park in general, but also the riparian area, which really, if you consider the river is one of the key and essential elements of the park.
Certainly. So people need to also know that there is this other element, and that is the renovation, modernization of the Sunken Garden Theater. And that has got some people very... They're concerned, and they're worried about, 7,000 occupancy theater. Where are all these people going to park? Where are they going to go? What about the noise? They've been organized, and they've been spreading messages on social media. Not all their messaging will pass the truth test, but they're concerned.
Yeah, and people have the right to be concerned. I think the key thing is, though, is, discussion and an understanding of what really is being offered, what work has been done in terms of parking studies, traffic studies, noise studies, things such as that. And that's one of the reasons for Councilman Bravo having this meeting tonight, for us to be able to share some of those things in a public forum. We haven't had the ability up until this point. We've shared what the sort of proposals are, And again, this is just, we're in a feasibility stage here. I think everybody's getting, the cart's getting a little ahead of the horse here. This project is really is a study project. And in order to be able to compete for bond dollars, you've got to actually have some concepts and ideas that you put forward. Otherwise, you're not going to be funded. So we're going to need the city funding going forward here in the bond. We're going to need other forms of funding in the county as well as private dollars. But the important thing here is to understand is we're still in the very early stages of design of finalizing that design for this particular theater. We've proposed some benchmarks of things that we think are going to be economically important in terms of the viability of the theater in the marketplace to be able to attract the acts that are now bypassing San Antonio. The theater needs to be of a certain size. And also from the economies of scale, if it makes it too small, then the artists who are at the top of the food chain are going to be demanding too much money for the available seating, which will drive up the prices of the tickets for San Antonio. So you've got to have a certain amount of seats in order to make the prices of the tickets available to the largest number of people. So that's an important element. Now, as far as the parking study is concerned, parking studies and traffic studies, the parking, we have adequate parking already in Brackenridge Park. We've just added a 600-car garage, plus the existing zoo parking, the existing lot that sits within the park and immediately around the park.
Are you counting like Alamo Stadium, the parking for that?
Yeah, there's Alamo Stadium, there's parking there. There's a lot of parking in that area. And again, if you go to our website, we have a parking and traffic study available for the public to review. And you'll see 7,000 seats is the maximum capacity. Our view is that the average concert will be somewhere in the 3,500 to 4,000. There'll be maybe three or four concerts at the absolute maximum, and there will be smaller concerts as well.
Let me get a caller in on this because we do have a lot of messaging coming in social media. I want to try and get that on the air, but we have Alan on the phones. Alan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I support the expansion of Sun and Garden Theater, make it an entertainment venue. But I understand people's concerns about parking and traffic. If you've ever been to COTA, and I just went to a concert there, it's a mess. It's fed by a two-lane road. I think Alamo Stadium might be a good choice as a shuttle site, just to alleviate that. That's all.
All right, Alan, thank you for that. So Nick, people that you have all this parking, but then there are people who may want to be parking around the, Lady of Sorrows Church and that neighborhood up St. Mary's. And that's a very, intimate neighborhood, and they've got enough problems.
Well, I don't see why anybody would want to park all the way there and walk all the way to the theater when there is parking within a few hundred feet of the theater entrance itself. So, I think we need to put, you've mentioned Alamo Stadium. We need to put things in perspective here. Alamo Stadium seats 22,000 people and has generally crowds in the 10 to 15,000 person range on a pretty regular basis. And they get all of the people in, they get them parked, and they get them out of there. So I don't, relatively speaking, then the 3 to 4,000 persons coming in and out of the Sunken Garden Theater is quite doable and quite achievable based upon existing patterns of traffic and parking.
Now, the drawings for the proposal include a large tent-like structure, but also maintaining the old 1930s construction, the WPA construction that we have for the theater?
Oh, absolutely. The historic colonnade and stage area is all going to be incorporated in the design. In essence, what's going to happen is there will be a stage house built over the current stage, and all of the historic elements will be maintained as they are today. As far as the structure of the roof structure, that was a request from the city because typically what had happened in the past is as it's gets quite warm, all of that concrete sits out there during the summer when most of these concerts will occur, picks up heat, it's a great big heat sink, and then when the patrons are sitting there in the evening, it just radiates all that heat out, making it quite uncomfortable. So the idea of covering seating area is one for comfort. But more importantly, covering the stage house, which today radiates sound at 360 degrees because it's totally open, will contain the sound. Also, putting a large roof over the crowd will also be important in sound attenuation, in addition to us putting barriers up on Alpine Drive to catch sound, and the back wall of the actual quarry itself, putting sound-deadening material. You know, our goal here is to outperform the current noise levels coming out of the theater itself. Also, there'll be a standing sound mixing board there, which will also be important, a professional mixing board. Today, they just bring those in and do the sound attenuations as they go. So really, the goal here is to improve on sound and improve on also access in and out of the theater as it's currently configured today.
I have a message from Sarah on Facebook. Brackenridge is the prettiest park in the city and needs renovation more than Sutton Gardens Theater itself. Billy on Facebook, I grew up going to many a show at this awesome venue. Let's show it some love. Also, he says, rock on. Rick on Facebook, it's a little too late. They should have done a renovation 30 years ago when you had a lot more artists touring. I will vote for this, though. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll come back. Take your calls, 833-TPR-TALK. We'll continue our conversation about the Sunken Garden Theater to renovate or not to renovate. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping employers get their people home safely. Preventing workplace accidents protects families and keeps businesses productive. More at texasmutual.com.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about a proposal for the improvements to the Sunken Garden Theater and a modernization. It's part of the May 7th City of San Antonio bond package. The proposal will improve many aspects of Brackenridge Park, and this is one of them, and this is all being solidified now. It's still being molded. We're joined by Nicholas Hollis, chairman of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy. So Nick, I mean, you've done a lot of great work in San Antonio. Like, I know that you were involved with helping put the art at the Museum Reach, helping bring that together.
Yeah, well, and also raising a lot of funds and a lot of political work to pull that whole thing together. Both the mission and the Museum Reach. That was 5 years of work with my partner Sonny Collins, which we thoroughly enjoyed, and we have Suzanne Scott as well, who was fantastic to work with at Sarah, who is now also on the Brackenridge Conservancy Board, and she will be hosting the meeting tonight with Councilman Bravo. So we've got some people that have done big and bold and important things in the city. And, you know, we want to take that expertise and that vision to this cherished park, which really has not seen the levels of investment that are available. In fact, I actually misquoted the other day the amount of investment in the park overall. Maurice McDermott from the Witte showed us a document that in the last 10 years, the cultural institutions in the city, that would be the McNay, the Sama Children's Museum, Witte, and also the zoo and the Botanical Gardens, had received something in the order of $264 million of investment. I thought it was only $165, but it's $264, and only $2 million in those 10 years was invested in Brackenridge Park.
So I bring up your past work to show, I mean, just to you know, your level of credibility in dealing with these types of issues and how you have worked for, you know, the public good in these instances. But I do want to read an email that we have from Alicia. The idea that a concert venue in a small base will not affect the quality of life of those nearby is unrealistic. There will be increased traffic and noise pollution. It will have an environmental impact. Look at Miraflores. Why start something else when you haven't finished what you started? I don't see Breckenridge Park and our community has benefited from the Conservancy's stewardship. Isn't it time to work with people whose cultural connections to the park spans generations? Time for new, unbiased research and consideration for the conservation needs of our trees and wildlife. And another email from Susan. How many times must San Antonians pay for these fields of corporate dreams? Toyota Field was built to host concerts as well as Major League Soccer. Neither came. Now we just pay for these mostly empty venues. The cost of maintaining a $72 million venue like that proposed will be prohibitive for any operator and will fail the city sooner than later. It's unnecessary. So what about the maintenance cost on something like the Sunken Garden Theater? Nick?
All right. Well, I think the important thing is to put this all in perspective. It's not as though this theater is a new project. This theater was built in 1930. It's been in constant operation for 85 years. So the idea that we're going to be adding traffic and noise, it basically exists today. What we're doing is we're renovating the theater and bringing up to standards that are going to attract the very best artists and the very best community facility that we can offer. The idea then that we're somehow changing the neighborhood, it doesn't ring true. I mean, to say the very simple fact is the Sunken Garden Theater predates anyone living in that particular neighborhood today. So how is it then that we're changing the perspective, or we're changing what's going on? This is an historic venue that has historically been operating. Unfortunately, it has fallen into disrepair to the point now that we're not seeing the frequency of shows that we used to see in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or actually even before that. That frequency is about to return. The reason is because we're going to bring the theater back to its cultural past and its cultural roots. So I feel for the neighbors in a sense that things are going to change, but they're really not changing from where they were before. Now, there's been a lot made of the fact that the theater is going to be somewhat larger. In 1930, the population of San Antonio was 237,000 people. The population of San Antonio today is 1.5 million people. So adding 1,100 seats undercover and a lawn, I think it's only in keeping with the needs and the desires of this community and the size of this community in order to make it relevant. So that's kind of where I feel. I mean, I think somebody made one of the editorials here. It's like buying a house next to a softball field where occasionally you get hit by a softball. Well, if you renovate the softball field, nothing's changed. So we're not changing the perspective of the community. We're not adding anything that wasn't already there and that has been cherished and loved and in the hearts and minds of a lot of San Antonians for almost a century.
So we had an event there, I think it was in July, and it was a Snoop Dogg. I think it was there, and it was a big deal. A lot of people attended it, and the reaction I heard that the parking was a mess, the whole thing was loud. But are you saying, and so these types of events will still be going to Sunken Garden, but by doing this renovation and modernization, they will have less of an impact on the surrounding community, Nick?
Yes, correct. And if you're doing this on a regular cadence, you're going to have better policing. You're going to have better parking organizations. You're going to have better flow. We're going to have enforced ingress and egress to keep it out of the neighborhoods. And as I said, all of the sound attenuation strategies that we're bringing in are going to improve the quality of what we're trying to do there. We're trying to add back an asset that will serve 200,000 San Antonians a year. So, you know, I don't want to rob San Antonians of that opportunity to indulge in, you know, indulge in arts and culture for the sake of the fact that we can't come to a great community understanding with the people who are living there. And we're starting that process this evening. We have made overtures to the various neighborhoods, but which have been rebuffed and unfortunately ended up in the press as opposed to ended up having meaningful discussions. I believe that that process is turning around, and through the leadership of Councilman Bravo, we're going to end up in a position where we're going to be talking to people rather than firing volleys off in social media, which I don't think is terribly productive.
Well, let me ask you about the outdoorness of this venue. We're living in the time of COVID. Indoor venues, I'm not eager to go to a concert in an indoor venue, but an outdoor one, maybe. Is that something that gives this, so why do we need another venue in San Antonio? We have all these other ones. Well, is because this is outdoor and nowadays that's what people want.
There's that element as well. I mean, it's like, all of the upgrades would be touchless. People that are sensitive, we're all sensitive to what's going on, and who knows what, COVID-19s we get in the future in the next 10, 20 years or whatever. So, updating all of the touchless ticketing and the fact that you're going to be outside and distance from people, I think it's going to be very important. You've got a lot of air blowing through there, you have circulating fans and whatever. So if that is something that's going to be a challenge in the future, I think it's very important for us to be having an outdoor opportunity to be able to do that.
But the people who live in the River Road neighborhood, I mean, they're used to political fights. People around here may not remember the fight against the Highway 281 that went on for decades until, you know, and they managed to hold up the construction of that highway. And I'm wondering, I'm getting flashbacks to this, these are the same neighborhoods. And then many of those folks are accustomed to they know how to make a political point.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, they have the right to do that. Asked me about, my prior history with the River Foundation. We had the same challenge back in, I think, 2003, 2004, trying to bring the River Improvement Project through the park. We ended up ultimately abandoning that. Unfortunately, that was at the expense of all San Antonians. If you look at the Mission Reach, the neighborhoods down in the Mission Reach are now have wonderful hike and bike trails and access and fishing piers and all of those wonderful opportunities which were offered to Brackenridge Park. But unfortunately, we could not come to a detente with the River Road neighborhood in terms of where we were going to run the trails. So, you know, you've got to be careful here. Just because people have a particular political strength or whatever, we've got to weigh that against the equity. You know, do 300 people control 200,000 people enjoyment of music and culture in San Antonio for the next year after year after year for the next 20 to 30 years? These are questions that people need to ask themselves. I think what needs to happen is the River Road neighborhoods and the other affected neighborhoods need to work with us to get the very best sound attenuation strategies, get the very best parking strategies, get the very best.
Well, let me ask you really quickly, as we're running out of time, Nick, is there a possibility that the Sunken Gardens part could be lopped off the plan for Brackenridge Park?
No, it's an integral part of what we're trying to do. I mean, it's the largest single structure that's falling into the ground in the park. You can't just ignore an 90-year-old historic feature that's crumbling in front of everybody's eyes. Our goal is to renovate the park and to bring it back for all people, for all aspects. It's music, it's paddle boats, the historic.
Listen, Nick, we're out of time. I got to let you go. I appreciate it so much. Nicholas Hollis, chairman of the Brackenridge Park Conservancy. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Jackie Velez. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.